We have been sharing through this series some different prayer tips, not necessarily pro tips, just prayer tips on how to pray, and hearing from some different folks about what they've learned that has helped them in their prayer life. And so this morning, Kathy Sandifer and Linda Eppards are here to share something each that they've learned that's been helpful for them. Kathy begged to go first, so we're going to let her go first, okay?
I just wanted to get it over with. I am a morning person, and one of the ways that I start my mornings is I have a grateful journal. So I always take the time and write at least four things that I am grateful for that the Lord has provided. I'm also a list person. As you can see, I have a couple notebooks here. But one of the ways that I just love to pray is pray scripture. So when you find a verse and you change out the pronouns and things to people's names. So I'm going to give you a couple examples. Psalm 119:11, hide your word in Karen's heart so her desire is to please and obey you in all she says. Another one is Proverbs 3:5-6. Help Eric to trust you, Lord, with all his heart and lean not on his own understanding, to acknowledge you in all his ways. And one of my favorites is Joshua 1:7. Lord, help me to be strong and courageous, being careful to obey your word. May I not turn from it to the right or to the left, that I may act wisely wherever I go. So praying scripture helps keep me focused, and I enjoy doing it.
I don't know about you, but I'm easily distracted, and when it comes time to pray, I'm super easily distracted. It seems like that's the time when the email alert comes in, or the text alert comes in, or the that craving for ice cream that you just can't resist. And you think, well, I can pray and eat ice cream at the same time. So on the way to the freezer, the dryer dings, and then you've got your laundry done and your ice cream, and you sit down on the couch and you grab the remote. And a few minutes later, you think, oh, I was supposed to be praying. So it's hard sometimes. We're easily distracted. Sometimes it's the enemy. Sometimes it's just us. Sometimes it's life. But one of the things that has made the biggest difference for me is the prayer wheel. I prefer to call it the prayer cycle, because when I think of prayer wheel, I think of those Eastern pagan things. But it takes an hour of time, and it divides it into 5-minute increments with directions for each 5 minutes. And if you think 5 minutes is too long, start with 2 or 3. But we all have timers on our phones. If you don't know how to use it, find a kid. They'll show you how to use the timer on your phone. And just set that timer, and for the first few minutes, you follow the directions that say praise. And then there's time for waiting on the Lord, for confessing things, for asking things for yourself, interceding for others. And before you know it, an hour has gone by and you've spent an hour with the Lord. And every few minutes, even if your mind wanders, or if you start thinking that person you're praying for, you said, oh, I promised I'd do something for them, or you start reliving this conversation you had with them, that timer will go off and you're back on track with the Lord. So I strongly recommend this. There are out there on the table. This has been a powerful tool that has changed my prayer life.
Also, as you saw in the program, Linda will be leading a class beginning next week on spiritual warfare. So I invite you to consider that as well. So as we come to think about holistically about our prayers, we've seen a number of different things. We've looked at why we need to pray. We saw how Jesus prayed and what he taught us to pray. We saw how prayer was a foundational and impactful element of the early church. And so we begin to ask ourselves, well, okay, how do I do this? I've seen lots of different kinds of prayers prayed in the Bible. I've heard different people talk about how they pray. So what prayers do I use at one time? And I thought a good way to wrap up this series is talk about what do I pray when? In what situations do I bring in prayers? Because as we see, there are all sorts of different kinds of prayers. And in fact, if you had people who really study out prayer, they'll list a number of different kinds of prayers, and the list can be kind of long. You say, well, what do I do here? So let me just give you four. They kind of, I think, are general ways of thinking about what types of prayers to pray given the situation. Let me go to first what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4. You've probably heard this verse, or at least part of it before. But he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We all face different situational times when we feel anxious about something. Maybe the doctor has said, well, we should run some tests. Or you hear some rumors about layoffs at work. Or you just have a sense that maybe things just aren't quite right with you and your spouse or one of your kids or a friend. And you just kind of feel anxious, not sure what to do. Or you're looking at your bill statement versus your bank statement, and you're seeing a big difference in the wrong way, and you're feeling anxious. So what do? Well, we call this kind of prayers supplication. So when you're in need, we pray prayers of supplication. We're praying for ourselves in this. We're presenting our own request of what we need in this moment. And we're not praying for bigger houses. We're not praying for fancy cars. What we're praying for is our needs, what we need. Jesus said to pray for our daily bread. And that was a reference to the manna that would show up for the Israelites, bread just miraculously every morning, just enough for that day. And they were not to take more than what they needed for the day. So we pray for what we daily need. We're to pray for our forgiveness as we confess our sins and ask God to forgive us. We're to pray to be guided away from evil. James, in his letter, said to pray for wisdom. So discernment when we have choices and decisions to make. And Jesus said that we were to seek and we're knock and to ask. What are we seeking? Ultimately, what we're seeking is God's will. What does he want in that situation? And that's what we're going after. That's what we're knocking for. That's what we're asking for. And when we pray in his will, Jesus said we can have and find assurance in our prayer life. And so one of the ways that we begin to pray is to pray, and this is probably one of the first prayers we know, is to pray for something that we need, keeping it in line with God, what God wants to do. Here's another one. For this, we go to the Psalms. And the psalmist wrote in 46, verse 10, that God says, be still and know that I am God. What we begin to see here is a different kind of prayer. It's a prayer to remain connected with the Father. We might call these meditative prayers. We don't have a big agenda. We're not asking anything in specific. We're just having a conversation with the Lord. Now notice this first part, be still. That can be one of the hardest parts of this whole thing, as Linda reminded us, because there are all sorts of bells and buzzers and ice cream calling out our name. Something to go and do. And it can be hard to be still. Now, meditative prayer is probably not a prayer you're going to pray every day, because it's helpful to be in a different spot where you can't be interrupted. And you can just sit. And you're listening as much as you're speaking. In a relationship, you know, there are times when you talk to one another with an agenda, to request things from one another, to communicate specific information. Spouses may get together and they're planning their calendar. They're talking about something about the kids. We've got to resolve this. Who's going to pick up so-and-so and who's going to do that? And that's all very necessary. But we also need those times when you just talk to talk. When you allow yourself to just linger together and let the conversation flow wherever it's going to flow. Now, sometimes it can feel like there's a squirrel in the room, you know, just, hey, I was thinking about this, and where did that come from? And that's okay. To get those things out from the heart and the mind and share it with one another. I think the same thing is true with God in our prayers. To just linger with Him. And to speak and to listen with no specific agenda other than to connect with Him. A great way to do this is to pray with your Bible open. You can use the Psalms or the Proverbs or the Gospels are good things just to look and just allow them to prompt you in prayers. Or to do as Kathy suggested and kind of insert your name or other people's names in some of those things and scriptures that you say. See. But just allow the thoughts to go where they go. As long as you're communicating with God. Their meditative prayers allow for confession. You know, sometimes if you're doing a chat, you think, okay, I got to start with confession. What have I got to confess? And you're thinking real quick and you're, oh, okay. You know, the other day I ran a light. You know, okay, I got that down. But if we do it in a meditative way, sometimes some of the deeper stuff is allowed to come out. Or Thanksgiving. It's a great opportunity to just give thanks to God and just let your mind think about all the things you can be thankful for. Why is this important? Jesus said this, "Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." If we want to have a fruitful life, if we want to see that fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and goodness and patience and kindness, etc., if we want to see those things come to life in us, we have to remain connected with the Father. Listen to David in the first psalm that we have, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but instead whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Look at what happens here. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Do you see the imagery he's given us here? That when we remain connected to the Father, our roots go deep down. And we're spiritually nourished, and that spiritual fruit comes out in our lives. But that's why meditative prayers are helpful for that. To just give ourselves time to think on the things of God, to think about God, to think about our lives, to let His Word intersect with our lives and drive us closer to Him. There's another kind of prayer. And what it seeks to do is to express deep, awful pain, often painful emotion. Listen to Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." And going a little farther, he fell to the ground. Notice that. He falls to the ground. And he prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Do you hear the pain in his voice as he's praying this? This is not a formal prayer. "Father, I have some thoughts." He falls to the ground. Why is he falling to the ground? Because he is grieving. He is sorrowful. And that emotion is affecting him physically. He has to get these things out. So here's the prayer I pray when I am in pain. It is a prayer of lament. Now, these words like supplication, meditative, lament. I know these are words we don't use every day, but these are helpful words for us to kind of think about what we're talking about. One of the prayers that Jesus prayed on the cross can be found in Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Some of you have prayed a prayer like that. Calling out to God and saying, why? Where are you? Those are prayers of lament. In Psalm 13, we see another sample of this kind of prayer that begins with these words and uses it several times. And you'll find these in other psalms. And maybe you've thought this. Maybe you didn't know you could turn this into a prayer. But he says, how long, Lord? That's quite a question for the Lord, isn't it? How long? You know, somebody who for a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. How long, Lord? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death and my enemy will say, I have overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall. That is an honest, raw prayer, isn't it? A prayer that comes from deep pain and questioning. God, what are you up to? Why do you allow this situation to persist? Why aren't you changing things? You're allowed to pray those prayers, to bring them before God and say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know what your will is. What are you doing in the universe? What are you doing in my life? Why are you allowing me to suffer like I'm suffering? You won't be the first person to pray those prayers. And it's okay to pray them. We need to pray them. We need to express those thoughts. You don't want to hold that stuff in. You're not being a righteous, faithful person if you express words of doubt and questioning of God's timing and what he's up to. You're being a child of God in those moments. And if David, who God said was a man after his own heart, could pray these things, how much more you and I? But look at where he winds up. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. There's something that happens when we go ahead and release the pain, when we speak the pain, when we give it all that feeling, when we give words to it, that can lead us to a place of peace. Now, it may not come right away. You know, this was written as a song. And so resolution is going to come probably quickly within the psalm, but it gives us a template, an example, that we can say these things and find ourselves, because we've expressed it, finding some peace and some comfort, if even just for a few moments, because we might have to pray it again and say, oh Lord, we're still going here. How much longer? What we see here is this is the place, this kind of prayer for expressing our pain. There is a place for this, for our questions, for our anger, directing it at God. Prayer is a perfect place for that. Let's take a look at a final prayer for us. Paul writes to Timothy, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. So we assume that when we pray prayers of supplication, we're typically praying for ourselves. When we pray for other people and for their needs, we're praying intercessory prayers. We're interceding for them. Look at an example of how Paul prayed for others. In Philippians 1, he said, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." I see two types of prayer here, two things to be praying about. One is to pray for people to come to faith. Do you know of some folks that you're praying for? Have you given up praying for some folks who need to come to faith in Jesus? Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, a coworker. Praying continually for them, making them a part of your regular intercessory praying. And then praying for people who are followers of Jesus, and pray for their spiritual growth, for their love to grow, for the fruit of righteousness, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things to just continue to grow in their lives. So whether you are praying for yourself and a need that you have, praying in just an extended conversation with God in a meditative prayer, or expressing your frustration and your pain and lament, or praying for people. And that's one of the things we're going to be doing tonight at our prayer event at 6, is intercessory prayer, praying for one another. Whatever kind of prayer you pray, keep in mind that God welcomes you. He invites you into that prayer. He wants you to come to Him with those prayers. The Bible says that we can approach His throne of grace with confidence. So whenever you go before God, whether it's in pain or in need or on behalf of someone else, know that God is welcoming you to that moment. One of the things that I want to do as we close up this session and this series is give you a chance to pray. And we've got the four prayer types of prayer up there for your need, or meditating on God's word, expressing your pain to God, or praying for others. I just want to give you a few minutes here to pick one of those or all of them and just pray. Go ahead and put it into practice. And you can do it seating. You can come up here and use these steps. You can kneel. Do whatever you need to. But let's just take some time and pray. And then I'll close us out here in just a minute. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace. And right now, I want to pray for the people who are here this morning. Lord, that in their own life, they would find and make time for a growing prayer life, so that we can be a house of prayer, that we can be involved in seeing your will accomplished in this community, because we're not only talking, we're listening. And we pray, Father, I pray that they see this fruit of the Spirit in their own life, growing joy, peace, love, goodness. Help them, Father, to find their rest in you as they learn to converse with you daily, remaining connected to you, so that they can experience the life that is truly life. And so right now, as we just close this time, we ask that you would continue to meet us here in this moment and accomplish in each of us what you want to this morning. And I pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.